Hey girl, welcome to Christian Girls Pop. My name is Stephanie Bright and I'm the founder of this girls group as well as your host for the podcast. Around here, we are all about purpose, obedience, and prayer. That's what makes us pop. You're guaranteed to laugh, cry, learn, grow, and most importantly, become more like Jesus. We're going to rock this thing out and we're going to have fun doing it. You ready? Let's go.
Hey, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Christian Girls Pop. I'm excited to continue with the Sunday School story theme for 2023, and I love the story that we're going to be talking about this week. But before we get there, let me go ahead and talk about who we're having as a guest speaker this week. So as y'all know, we're always diving into the Word, sharing our experiences, and I have guest speakers that come on and share their stories as well, and this week is no different. So y'all, I have a friend this week. I'm excited. This is my friend Shayla Kirkendall, and we became friends when we were back in college at HBU, or what is now known as HCU. Y'all, our college had a whole name change, and we have an identity crisis behind it, but that's fine. Don't worry about that. Anyways, so Shayla Kirkendall, she is a very strong woman of God. She just graduated recently with her master's in communication, and she has her own podcast that we're going to be talking about too, called Intellectual Beats. And I'm very excited for y'all to hear her heart behind the Word of God, the story and things that she has to share, and her testimony, her life experiences. So very excited for this episode. Shayla, welcome, girl.
Hey, Stephanie. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited. So tell the people a little bit more about yourself, a fun fact, something else that I didn't mention.
Yeah. So first, I describe myself kind of as a full-on digital content creator. I'm also, you know, feature writer and blogger with my platform, Intellectual Beats. But honestly, at the end of the day, I just describe myself as a person who likes to use my gifts, my talents to bring people to Christ. For those who know me, for those who may not, I also play the piano at church. So I'm a person, I think, of many, many different talents. But at the end of the day, I am a full, I thrive off a purpose. Purpose is how I look to see what God wants me to do as far as like the next phase in my life. And so even now, even this year, I've just been really just seeking God so much for what he wants me to do. Because it's been a lot of navigation, a lot of pivots in my life, career-wise, and even just many different things in my life. So kind of a jack of all trades at times.
I love that. And I think that really helps to bring a lot of experiences to the table, especially in conversations like this, because of all the different, I guess, avenues that you can find yourself in and that you can relate to, that you have experienced. And jack of all trades are cool people because they have their hands in like all the pots at the same time. So that sounds stressful, but go off, sis. Live your best life.
I'm trying my best. I'm trying.
So for this week, we're going to be talking about Noah and the Ark. As we're talking about Sunday school stories each week, this is a very popular Sunday school story. And if you grew up in church, you heard it, you probably drew it, you made an ark, you cut out the little animals and glued them on the ship, all the things, right? This is a very popular story, and there's quite a few different themes that we can find throughout this story. And so for those that are going to be following along with their Bibles, there's a couple chapters in Genesis that really tell the story of Noah and the Ark. And it's basically between chapters 6 and 9 of Genesis. That's when you kind of see the full story. So obviously, we're not going to read those chapters in entirety on the podcast episode. But to kind of summarize this story, before we kind of deep dive into it. So Noah, very righteous man, he was living right before God. The rest of the people around him were not. So this is way back at the beginning of time. There's quite a few people here on earth already. It's not extremely populated as it is today, but there were still quite a few people, but they were not living according to God. They were not obeying him. They were just crazy out here living recklessly. So God was not pleased with what they were doing. God was like, I'm going to start over because these people are ratchet. Like they are not living right. But he wanted to spare Noah and his family because he had found favor with God. So God's plan was to flood the entire earth, but he would save Noah, his family, and some animals that would be able to reproduce and start over once the flood had gone back down, the waters had receded. So that was exactly what God did. God gave Noah instruction, told him exactly how to build the ark, and Noah obeyed. Him, his family, and some of the animals made it onto the ark. When it was time, God flooded the earth, wiped everything else out, the waters went down, and then Noah and his family were able to come back onto the earth, and then they began to repopulate again, and God essentially put a reset button on the earth and was like, we're just going to try this thing again. So that was a very, very, very quick summary of the story of Noah and the ark and the reason behind it. But there's a lot more that we could get into. But before we deep dive into it, Shayla, I wanted to turn it over to you. So you chose this story for the podcast. What was your reason behind choosing this story? How can you relate? What are the things that really made you want to talk about this story in particular?
Yeah. You know, kind of like you, the Noah and the Ark story is something, it's one of those early like childhood Bible stories that you're familiar with. But it's really interesting when you begin to grow in Christ and begin to grow as an individual, how it then begins to be manifested in your own life. And so now the Noah and the Ark story, to me, it makes me ask myself the question of, are we willing to really trust God, depend on him, and build something that he has given us these like divine instructions on, to not only help you like increase maybe when it comes to yourself, but you know, able to bring other people along as well. Excuse me. So that's what the story means to me so much more now. We think about how through Noah, God is doing like a whole new thing on the earth, right? He's replenishing the whole earth by Noah being able to really be obedient and trust and depend on him. There have been many times I know God has asked me to do something, and it could just be sharing my testimony. And I'm like, I don't know, Lord, about this right now. Maybe later, right? But we see throughout scripture, each time God told Noah to do something, he obeyed. And so I found myself, even with intellectual beats, questioning God, like, okay, I see you want me to start it as a blog, though I don't think it's really right to be a blog, right? Because with my background in broadcast and digital media, I wanted my platform to also mimic that. But God was trying to have me start it as a blog first, right? Interview people, capture their stories, put it like, you know, in a blog setting. But then I felt like, well, why not do my podcast first? And then God was showing me, like, you're not ready for that right now. You know, build the blog, and then later on we will build off of that. And then again, be able to bring even more people on. So knowing the ark, it's really a story of not doubting God, trusting in him. And through your obedience, you're saving other people. Because there's specific people tied to the ones that, you know, God wants to bring along, per se, the boat with you. But again, it's attached to your obedience as well.
I love that. You hit on quite a few different points that I wanted to kind of deep dive into. So the first thing you talked about was just how like things don't always make sense to you, but like trusting God and not doubting him. And that is so much easier said than done, I would say, because we really think we're right all the time. Like, we don't want to admit that, but we really do. We think that we know the best thing. But the word says that his ways are higher than ours. Like, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And so they're not just our thoughts. His thoughts are better. Like, his ways are better. And so we have to really get to a place of humility sometimes to be able to decide that we may think we have a plan. We may think we have it all figured out, but God has something else in mind. And what he has in mind is always going to be way better, way more structured than we could come up with. It will be a better marketing plan, strategy, whatever, you know, but much easier said than done. And sometimes it takes us learning the hard way by trying to go and do it our way. And we realize, man, I really messed this up. Like, this is worse off than if I had just left it alone and not done it at all. Like, that's how bad it can be.
And you know what the crazy thing about that, Stephanie, is? We can often mess it up by, yeah, trying to go around what God told us to do, or bringing people in that God did not want to bring in. Like, I found myself with even with the name of, and I think I've mentioned this before to you, I was very insecure with the name Intellectual Beef because I felt like no one's going to understand this. I don't even know why I came up with it. I know why I came up with it, but I just kept feeling like I need to persuade people so much. I need to do this so much. When it's like, build it, let God explain it. Build it, God will show why all of this came about, in the end result. So I found myself really trying to go to other people to validate the vision God was telling me to build instead of going straight to God and
That
asking Him to confirm it.
that's a whole sermon. That's a whole word, because we will waste time, energy, words, effort trying to pitch our vision to everybody and bring them alongside. And God said, girl, if you don't just do what I told you to do and trust me, oh my gosh, that's so good, because we can really rationalize and reason ourselves out of some stuff. Like, this is what I love about Noah. There were several times that we see here where it just says that Noah just boom, he just went and did it. He just went and did it. If we look at chapter 6, verse 22, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Skipping on down to chapter 7, verse 5, and Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Like, boom, he just straight up followed instructions. Now, granted, if he had some doubt, it's not mentioned here in scripture, but what we see here is boom. Full, complete, and immediate obedience. He just went for it. And we may have seen, y'all may have seen like different social media posts about this story or whatever. But just the fact that when God was telling Noah what to do and Noah was being obedient, Noah looked crazy because Noah was building an ark when it wasn't raining. Like, it's like walking around with an umbrella on a sunny day, but God told you to pack the umbrella because he knew that the storm was coming later, but you're just walking around with it. And people are like, girl, what are you doing? Like, it's a beautiful day here, or it, like, essentially it seemed as crazy as like wearing a parka to the beach. Like, that's how crazy Noah looked. But he was like, look, I trust God. And that's exactly how crazy faith can look sometimes. Like, when we are going and doing what God is telling us to do, we may look like we have absolutely lost our minds. And that's okay. Like, if God has called us to do it, then he's called us to do it. You shared your
That's right.
story with the podcast. Mine was, with me leaving my career. Like, there's still people to this day that, like, Steph has lost her mind for leaving her whole career. They're like, for who? For Jesus? Like, girl. And then, the first question, like, does that pay? I know you're not making as much money as you used to make. They're going down the list. And I'm like, faith does not make sense to everyone. Like,
Exactly.
I know that sometimes you just gotta go for it. And so I love that you just shared about the fact of people may not understand. Like, I may have to persuade. Someone else was on the podcast recently, and they mentioned, they said, when God calls you to something, it's not a conference call. And they're basically saying, like, everybody's not involved in the initial meeting. They will see it in time. They will see it when it's presented and, it's fully there. But when God is giving you the strategy, the layout, the vision, everyone's not involved. So everyone will not understand. And so you just got to trust, like, I'm doing what he told me to do. Y'all will see the rain,
And it's so crazy because I remember in the beginning stages of Intellectual Beats, I carried so much shame at this time. So, just graduated from college, was gonna make well, I majored in mass media, so like a subset of journalism, and there was not many opportunities for me like I thought it would be in journalism without you going to a whole nother state. And at the time, I'll be honest, I just wasn't ready for that at that moment. But I wanted to do digital journalism, kind of like what I'm doing with my blog. And now with the podcast, digital journalism is more, it's grown since 2018 when I've graduated. But at the time, magazines couldn't get hired at anything kind of local. And I got really discouraged. So it led to me working in human resources, which was at my alma mater, right? And that was great. I was amongst, still a familiar community. It was great. But it was still that shame because it's like if people ask me, hey, I thought you were going to continue with broadcast, because they saw me interning. And I was like, yeah, but it was an internship. It has a time limit, of course. And not only that, it's like, well, I'm building this thing on the side, right? I'm doing Intellectual Beats. So this will be my form of journalism. So then it was questions like, well, you know, I know you go to church. Why don't you just build like a Christian platform? And it's like, well, yeah, but God showed me this to build Intellectual Beast, which is like journalism based. Not knowing, you know, fast forward to today, a lot of the stories, the testimonies have come from people have been people giving credit to God for getting them to where they are in their level of entrepreneurship and other endeavors of their life. So it's like, it wasn't for me to have a full picture, like, I'm going to create this blog, it's going to be journalism based and Christian and this, that, and the other. It's like, just build it, just do it. The rest will come down the line, right? But still, I felt so much shame because it's like, on the outside, I'm working in HR, but on this side, I'm doing this journalism thing. So it's like, what are you really, right? So that theme of an imposter syndrome, I wrestled with that for quite some time. But like you said, Stephanie, that's the thing about it. It's like, it's some things that God has called you to do. It's not going to make sense. And I think when it doesn't make sense, then we are able to fully give credit to God, because it's like, he changed the story, right? This is how it looked to you. But this is what God had going on, you know, behind the scenes.
That's so good. And he loves to get us in those positions. I don't necessarily like them all the time, but he loves doing it. He's a master at making sure that he's the only one that gets the credit for it. And so when we look back, we can see, and we have no choice but to say, this was God. This wasn't my efforts. This wasn't my duties. Like Noah could not attribute being saved to anything else but him. He couldn't even say, well, I'm the one who built the ark. God told you to do that. And he gave you instructions. He gave you measurements. You didn't know what to do. Like, if he would have built it the way he would have thought of, I guarantee you water would have got in the boat and everybody would have drowned. Like, Noah had no choice but to say, the Lord saved us. Like, we're going to give honor to him for that. And you're absolutely right. God will put us in a place where we have no choice but to say, Lord, it was you. And we have the but God. It's a but God moment. It's like, I was going to die. Noah, I was going to flood with, I was going to be destroyed with the rest of them. But God thought otherwise. And it's a beautiful, challenging, frustrating, awesome experience to be in that space, you know, where you know what God is calling you to do and it's not quite making sense. And if it was up to you, you would have done it slightly different, but he's telling you to do it just right. And you have to depend on him to know the next steps. But when you see the other side of it, when you get off the proverbial arc of your life and you realize what would have been if you had not listened to God, like that will set you on fire. That will set you ablaze. And you're like, man, like God really has my back. Because if I had tried to go do A, B, and C, knowing he called me to do something else, I would have messed this whole thing up. And it's not that you're too far gone. If you've gone outside of God's will or you've not been obedient, there's grace. But there's also consequences too. Like we have to acknowledge that part, that when we try to do things outside of God, like it will never, ever be as good as if we let him be the one to really take the reins on things, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, and I'll say one point also to what you mentioned earlier, when it comes to just having like that tunnel vision, that tunnel focus of following the plan, the mapping that God has for you. You know, one thing my mother would tell me anytime I started to feel like kind of even avoiding people, so I don't have to answer that question of what's going on in your life, basically, she would say, you have to drown out the noise, right? Mm. So Noah, if I'm building this ark, it hasn't rained, you know, people are saying things, right? And I don't even know at this point if Noah's just doing it all himself. I don't know if he's having his sons, you know, help him. I don't know if scripture really conveys that, but the fact is, I got my head down, I'm building this ark while still dealing with the noises around me. If you're not careful, yes, you will be easily swayed to believe what people are projecting upon you. But as you begin to trust God and drown out that noise, then you're able to see, okay, I understand that, you know, by brick, the more I keep building, the more I keep walking in faith, God is doing something in this. But I have to keep my eyes and vision, really tunnel vision on him. And it can be difficult.
I love that. Drown out the noise. Somebody needed to hear that and be encouraged, because they have a lot of noise going on in your lives. And noise looks different for everyone. For some people, it's their family. When you're going to get a job? When you're going to get a man? I thought you were supposed to work in such and such job with this degree. We spent all this money and what are you doing? You know, some people, it's the pressure of just social media and seeing what everyone else is showing off and what they have. And they think, man, I don't have this. I don't have that. Maybe the noise is the church, you know, thinking that you should be in a certain position and you're not. Whatever it is, there's noise that can come in. And essentially, if you don't turn down the noise, like Shayla's saying, it can overwhelm you to where you can't even hear God's voice now. Now you're confused about your initial vision. Where you once had clarity, now you're a little confused. Like where you once were like, I am absolutely sure this is what God has. Now you're like, well, maybe he didn't say that, like, because it's not looking like you thought it would, because people are saying that they don't understand or it doesn't make sense, or maybe new opportunities are arising, even though God told you to leave your job. Maybe, you know, God is calling you to move to a new state, but nothing's opening up in the new place. Or maybe you just got a promotion at the job that God told you to quit. And now you're a little confused as to exactly what God has. But this is so key. Like Shayla said, turn down the noise. Turn down anything else that is negative, anything that's opposite of what God's word says, anything that's opposite of the word and the vision that God gave you, so that you can hear him. And so Shayla, what would you recommend to someone? What is a practical way that they can turn down the noise?
Honestly, I would say it's like, you know, your triggers, right? Like you mentioned social media. And I never took a break from social media until I was doing a fast and prayer one time. And in that season of my life, I realized social media is a place where, you know, I allow that to not just motivate me, because that could be a positive thing, but it's also influencing me and kind of taking me away from what God is telling me, because yes, I'm getting into that, the need to compare myself and compare my journey to others. So I was like, okay, social media, let's take a break from that for a while. And maybe in that time, you really can spend more time seeking God. So maybe you replace social media with, okay, in the morning, I'll start journaling and praying instead of, you know, reaching for my phone and checking, you know, what's happening in the world. And also that could just look also at this reflection, right? As you begin to think about the place where you're at right now, you're able to say, okay, I remember how God, you know, did this for me before. He's brought me out before, you know, surely he'll do the same thing for me in this season of my life. Right. And then you're able to start realizing how, what you're going through kind of at this present moment, you know, God has a bigger purpose, but you won't realize that if you're, you know, comparing yourself to others, or you're just feeling like, if you're allowing so many influences to come into your life.
So, yeah. I think those are great practical ways, because I think, you know, people hear stuff like that and they're like, yeah, I need to turn down the noise. Yeah, I don't need to listen to people. But it's like, okay, like how? Like, what does that look like? Another thing that I will add to that is fasting. Fasting from, it can be from food, from social media. Maybe you need to take a break from your friends if they're the ones that are causing this confusion, so that you can really pull away and hear what God is asking of you. You know, we see that in scripture, especially in the New Testament, that Jesus pulled away. He would pull away from the crowd time and time again to kind of really focus on what he had to do. He pulled away in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he was crucified to just really focus on this last, you know, mission that he was about to accomplish, which was to be crucified. And so we can really see his example and learn from that, to know that there are times where we're going to have to step away just to really get clarity. Whether, you know, if you have the means to go on a staycation, solocation, go for it. But it could simply mean just closing the door and spending some time with Jesus in your room, in your prayer closet, in the bathroom, wherever you got to do, to just really refocus and realign and go back to, if you wrote the vision down, go back to it, go back to that initial thing and trust and believe that God is with you. And the last thing I would say about that is renewing your mind too. I think that's key, because we don't see exactly how much time that I guess passed between God initially giving Noah the instruction and by the time the actual flood came. But obviously there was some time in between, because he had to take time to build the ark. And so with that, that in that time that's passing, I can assume that people are just seeing this big old boat being built in Noah's yard, and they're like, "Who? What is this man doing?" Or if he had to, you know, chop down trees to get the wood for it and all this stuff, and they're just like, "He has lost his mind." And in that time, you know, maybe as he was had, you know, as Shayla said, that he had his head down building and hammering, that, you know, maybe the thoughts did creep in of like, what am I doing, you know, or maybe starting to believe the lies of those around him. We don't see that to be able to confirm that here in scripture, but it's just in our own lives, we know how things go, so we can only assume or imagine how it will be for Noah. But in that time of space between the promise and actually seeing it come to pass, there's that span of time where a lot of doubt can creep in, where the confusion and all of that can arise. And so it's very important to renew your mind and believe what God's word says. So renew your mind, get some verses that can be your go-to scriptures. One of mine is Deuteronomy 31:6, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. That's one of mine, like, okay, God is with me. God is with me. And so have those things to renew your mind with truth so that you're able to understand not just, yes, this is a vision from God, but also just who God is, and remind yourself of that when the enemy would try to tell you otherwise.
And you know what, Stephanie, that's such a great point. And when you mentioned isolation, it made me think about this. So, you know, when I first started reading this passage, I thought about, in a way, Noah is like in a season of isolation. But then I was like, well, not really, because it's not like John on the island of Patmos, right? So I'm like, maybe it's a little different. But I think seasons of isolation can definitely look different.
Yeah.
For everyone. Sometimes it's not so much as being like alone, because you may be centered, you know, surrounded by people, but it's really isolating yourself spiritually to be able to hear what God is saying. And like you said, doing those methods that you mentioned, that's just some of the ways that God can truly continue to download in you what you need to keep going. And then you have to remember the Bible, you know, God says in his word, you know, the vision, it's going to tarry, right? Like you said, Stephanie, we know it's been a long journey, Noah building this ark. But the promise is coming. It's coming. So don't allow what's going on around you to deter you and stop you from, again, building what God has instructed you to do.
Yeah, that's very encouraging. And it's needed words for those who feel like they're in that in between, almost like, I don't believe in purgatory, but just for the proverbial purgatory, you know, it's like where you're just in that holding space, you know, you feel like, or like another example is like a plane, like in a holding pattern, just waiting to land, and you can see the runway, but you got to circle around one more time till the air traffic control says you can land. And, you know, for people that are on board, it can get kind of frustrating. You know, you're just like, when is this going to happen? And it could be for a lot of different things. Maybe you were obedient. Maybe you're obedient and you left your job, and now the finances don't look like you thought they would. Maybe by now you thought you would have, you know, had a baby, and you thought, you know, you did all the right things and you waited till marriage, and now you're struggling with fertility. The list can go on and on of what you're waiting for. And I just want to encourage those that are listening that God sees it all. Nothing is in vain, and that being obedient to God will never be wasted. It will never be in vain, and God will use it all for his glory. And we just have to continue to trust that he really is in control. He really is. And that he sees it all. He's in control of it all. He's watching everything. He's shifting. He's putting things. He's arranging these things in place for that moment when his promise does come to pass. And I think it's encouraging to know that God is always working behind the scenes. You know, God is always moving and shifting the pieces. And sometimes we just see what's coming out on stage, but there's so much else happening behind the curtain. And we just have to trust that whoever's backstage, who we know to be God, he's really got it in control, and everything will happen in his timing as it should.
There's a message by Pastor Tim Ross. And as you were speaking, I was thinking about it. His message title, I think, was it's called Stop Tripping, It's Coming. Mm. And that message really is truly about knowing that God promised you something today, but knowing that even before you were thought of in your mother's womb, that still God guaranteed that promise will come to you. But everything that you're going to go through in life is going to keep moving you closer and closer and shifting you toward the promise. And that's why, even though you want it so bad today, God is going to keep on building your character and keep on doing great things through you to get you closer and truly prepare you for that promise. So, you know, don't lose hope. Don't lose faith in that. Because I can tell you right now, Intellectual Beats, I started that in 2019. And gosh, really, I thought of it in 2018, but 2019 is when it was truly officially created. And again, even now, it's in 2022. It's been a process of steps of different things that I never thought would have happened with it. So you just never know. You just never know what God is doing in your life.
Absolutely. I can definitely say similar for mine. With starting Christian Girls Pop back in 2015, I never would have imagined that we'd be here in 2023 with podcast episodes weekly and just all the other things that we have going on now for Christian Girls Pop. And I started it as Bible studies. God told me to do Bible studies, and I said, okay, we're doing Bible studies, not knowing that there was so much more in store. And so just trust God with the first thing that he told you to do, and be like Noah, be able to say, like, I want that to be said of us, that Noah did all things that God instructed him to do. Insert your name, did all the things that God instructed her to do, that she went and was immediately obedient. She didn't hesitate. She didn't doubt. She grabbed a hammer. She grabbed a nail. She started building the proverbial arc of her life that God had called her to do too. So that's so good. So with the story, like we said, there's quite a few chapters and there's so much in here. What are some verses that really stick out to you in the chapters of this story?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. That's a good question. I think just from starting it out, so Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, mentioning that Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. It's so easy to, even though God has called us to stand out, it's easy to still want to be like everyone else. So when I see that verse, it really makes me ask myself, okay, so Noah was blameless. He was righteous. You know, God begins to find favor in Noah. It's like, does God find favor in me? And so every time I read that, I just think that to myself, Noah's walking faithfully with God. You know, there are some things required of us. You know, we may expect God to do great things through us, and he will, but also are we walking with him? Can he truly, like, you know, brag on us per se? And so I really do love that verse. I think it just sets the stage for everything that comes down in the rest of the verse. But also, so Genesis chapter 6, verses 18 through 22. And God says, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And then, of course, he goes on to instruct Noah to bring two of every living creature, male and female, into the ark with him. And the reason I love that is because God is establishing just this early on, this promise. Like, I'm already, as you're building this, I'm telling you up front that I'm building my, you know, a covenant with you. So I would say in the back of Noah's mind, as he's building this ark and as he's getting discouraged, I'm pretty sure at times because of the timing that it's taking, because of the labor intensity behind building this ark, he's able to glean from that covenant. He's able to glean from that promise from God. And so I love that because I'm telling you, when you're on your journey and you're building what God has instructed you to do, when anytime you start to feel tired, anytime you start to feel like, God, I just can't go on anymore. And I felt that way so many times, especially leading up to my master's degree.
Oh, yeah.
God shows you, remember the covenant, right? Remember the promise I made towards you, right? And so I think that was, I just love that God already established that with him even before the ark is built.
Those are two great verses. I like that. Yeah. I want to go back to the first one that you mentioned about verse 9. I think sometimes we just kind of hit on that real quick and then we kind of skip over because we're focused on his obedience, which is cool. But I love that you highlighted that because by the time God gives Noah instructions about this ark, he's already had this history with Noah. They've been walking together. And essentially, by the time he got to there, like, God could trust him. He knew, I can give Noah instructions without him ever seeing rain, and he'll do what I told him to do. And I think that's something that we definitely have to discuss, because, like you said, we need to ask ourselves, do I find favor? Like, does God find favor with me? Can he trust me with assignments? Here's a question for people. Have you done the last thing that God asked you to do? Like, these are things that get you to the point, you know, we see these great people that God uses, and they, God, you know, just shows up mightily in their ministry and all this stuff, but we don't see all the history, all the things that they've walked through faithfully with God before they ever got to the stage, before they ever saw, you know, whatever thing that God had for their life. There was a season, there was a process, and there was things that God was developing, pruning, all the words that we don't want to hear. He was doing all of that behind the scenes. But I love that you highlighted that, because it is very important to mention that he was a faithful man. He was righteous, and God was like, okay, here's another assignment. He gave it to Noah. He didn't give it to Noah's sons, Noah's wife, nobody else but Noah, because he knew that he could trust Noah. And so I think that's just a very important thing to mention. And so with that, knowing that he could trust Noah, it actually really connects with what you mentioned in verses 18 through 22, because talking about the fact of how his wife, his sons, their sons' wives will all be saved because of that. God chose that person. And you mentioned that earlier, Shayla. You mentioned how your obedience can save others. And we see that because God said, okay, if Noah will do what I called him to do, not just him, but this other handful of people connected to him will also be saved. He knew, maybe if I give it to Shem or Ham, his sons or something like that, they ain't gonna do it right. He said, nah, y'all gonna mess this whole thing up. Let me give it to the person that I can trust. And so we have to change our perspective about things. When God is giving us what may be tough instructions or tough assignments, we have to trust that God is obviously in control. He's sovereign, but also that he trusts us with this. And so it's almost like a weight that comes with it, like, oh, yikes, God trust me with this. But it's an honor too, in its own way, of like, okay, like, you trust me, yikes, but also, yay, you trust me, I'm honored. And so the harder your assignments get, the bigger your instructions are, you know, that just shows God's really like, okay, I know it's going to be hard, I know you'll be frustrated, I know you'll be challenged, XYZ, all the things, but I still trust you with that. And so I just want to encourage people that are listening, shift your perspective a little bit. Don't ask God, why me? Why do I have to be the one to build the ark? But say, thank you, Lord, that you trust me enough to be the one to build the ark. Thank you, Lord, for trusting me enough to be the one to go and be the salvation, or to lead my family to be saved in a physical sense, you know, with the ark, but also, like, in a sense now, like, thank you for allowing me to be the one to fight for my children. Thank you for allowing me to be the one to break the curses off of them. Whatever it is, like, no matter how difficult it is, switch your perspective and come from a place of gratitude that he trusts you with that.
I love that. I am definitely guilty of not always looking at it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right. I'm like telling myself, I'm like, Steph, write that down, because you need to do that.
Definitely guilty of that. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes I do both. I'll be like, God, I really don't want to do this. I know you have chosen me to do this, but I have a lot going on. I'm tired. I'm already under pressure. I don't want to do that. And then It's like, but if you have asked me to do it, God, surely there's a reason in it. And I'll tell you right now, The things that I have despised doing have been the very things that have moved me closer to my purpose. I edited a podcast for someone back in 2020, I think. Yeah, during the pandemic. And that was how I learned, oh, this is how you edit a podcast. Oh, this is the process that goes into it. Not knowing at the time that I was going to, you know, consider launching my own podcast.
Yeah.
So sometimes, not just saying it's about me, but it's just some things you don't want to do. You don't realize how it can move you closer into what God has for you in the future.
Oh, yeah. Like, I even know, like, just in my own personal time of studying the Bible, and in all of 2022, God really sat me down and just took me through scripture for an entire year. But that set me up for what I'm doing now with teaching Bible studies on college campuses, and being able to continue to teach the Bible studies on the podcast through various means and stuff like that. That would have never happened had God not assigned me. And it's like, no, I didn't want to sit there and read and study and type and look up and commentaries and research. I didn't want to do that every day. There were some days I felt like it. There were other days I didn't. But I see how God was setting me up for the next thing. And that can go for so many different things in my life. And so it's, yeah, like really just know that he is doing it for a reason. And so it's like, Lord, I don't see all the steps, but I'm glad you do. So thank you for being sovereign.
It's like you said, though, if you could be faithful over what God is putting in your lap right now, and then whatever he calls you to in the future, God already knows that you'll be faithful to that thing that I'm asking you to do.
Yes. Yes. And this is why we have to be faithful with the last thing. How do we want God to put us on a stage with a mic, but we can't pray for the sister sitting next to us in service? Like, baby, God is trying to do something in you before he gets you to that point. We want the big stuff. It's like, why would I give a brand new car to a 4-year-old? They don't know what they're doing. Like, the most you're going to get is one of those little bitty motorized ones that you're going to probably run into something too, you know? But it's like, I know I can't trust you with that yet. God wants to get us to places where we can be trusted with the next thing. And how do we do that? We're faithful to the last thing that he gave us. I don't know what else Noah had been faithful to. It just says he'd been faithful. He'd been walking with the Lord, blameless, righteous, praise the Lord. I don't know what all that was, but the Lord did. And he's already saying, yeah, I put Noah through a couple tests here and there, here and there. I mean, even the same thing with Job. God literally gave up. He offered Job to Satan, was like, yo, you want to test him? He's your boy. Because I know he's going to be faithful to me. Once again, the Bible doesn't talk about what the Lord and Job have been walking through. He just said, I trust him. No matter what, he'll never curse my name. So obviously they have some history to get to that point. And so the Lord said, boom, here's Job. And so we can see that, not that everybody will have a Job type story, but it's just the element of God being able to trust us. God needs to be able to trust us. And the way that we show that is by being faithful and obedient to the last thing that God has called us to do, and just stay there until you get your next assignment. There was something that I wanted to mention as far as the verses. So we see a couple different things throughout the story. We see Noah's obedience, like I mentioned. We see that a couple times, like physically spoken, that he did all that God commanded him to do. There's also the instruction that God gave. So back in chapter 6 of Genesis, verses 19 through 22, he kind of just let Noah have the instruction on how to bring the animals in. And even before that, if you go back up to verse 14, he tells him how to build the ark and the different measurements and stuff like that. And then we also get the promise. So verse 17 of chapter 6, he explains why he's doing what he's doing. He's going to bring a flood. But then chapter 18, we receive that promise, like you mentioned, Shayla, about establishing the covenant. And so there's the three elements of obedience, instruction, and promise. And what I wanted to just share about that as I was reading this, this was just shown to me, is that those things aren't always in that particular order. It's not always promise, instruction, obedience. Sometimes it's just like Abraham, and all you get is an instruction and a promise, and you need to just go with the small little bit of what you got. Sometimes you just get instruction, the promise comes later, but you got to be obedient in the middle with just the instruction. And so that was just something that really stuck out to me, because sometimes we're waiting for everything to be aligned so perfectly before we step out on faith, and we hinder ourselves from the move of God. We hinder ourselves from what God is wanting to do through in and through us, because we're waiting on all the pieces to align. We're waiting on the pendulum to hit every single block before we'll get into position. And God is calling us to move now. There are things that God is wanting to do, and they're within a time constraint. God is not wanting it to be done in 2027. He wants you to do it now. There are things, and he knows why. He knows that the person that he's called you to go minister to or pray with or love on or share the gospel with, he knows that they won't even be alive in 2027. That's why he needs you to be obedient now. this is why it's so important for us. We can't wait until we have all the pieces just right, because you will rationalize, and I said it earlier, you will rationalize and reason your way out of obedience and then try to blame everyone else but yourself for why you've ended up in disobedience and why there are consequences on your life. And it's because you're waiting on this perfect scenario, and it's not always a perfect scenario. We can look at Peter when he walked on water. When he was walking on the water with Jesus, the waves were still rough. Like, sometimes I think we hear Peter walking on water and we're like, oh, it was so peaceful. He was literally walking on rocky water. The waves were still crashing. But Peter decided to step out of the boat and step on faith. And so I want to encourage us. You're not always going to get all the things just right. But if you trust who God is, you trust God enough, you believe enough about his word to know exactly what he's called you to do, go and do it. You're not going to have all the pieces. And it's almost like I want to like shake y'all up a little bit. Like, we can't just keep being so passive with God. We can't be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get around to it. Somebody told me this and it wrecked my little spirit. They told me delayed obedience is disobedience. I said, what? Like, when we're sitting around waiting on that, we're actually still being disobedient. Like, I need us to understand that. So for those, if you're listening to this and you know there's things that God have called you to do, there's things that you've been sitting on, waiting on the right business strategy, waiting on this many likes and followers, waiting on the support, waiting on God to reveal the whole plan, even though he only told you step one, go and do what God has called you to do. Go get the hammer, go get the nail, start building a boat. You don't have to see the rain, but I need you to get ready, because the rain is coming. And if you're not obedient to what God has called you to do, you will be destroyed because of it.
Ooh, preach to me and everyone else listening. Oh my goodness.
We all need to take a minute. I need to take a minute too. I'm like, because I'm only saying this because I know what it is to wait. I know what it is to give delayed obedience. I know what it is to try and wait on God to give me every single solitary step. And I know what it is to know when I've missed it because I waited. And I don't want that for others. I don't want other people to be caught up in the flood because they were waiting on the right moment to start building the ark.
I'm telling you, and it will convict you. I'm telling you, you can definitely tell when it's like, I knew I should have done it when you first told me. Not a week later, not even a day later. I should have figured out a way to do it right then.
Yep.
That is not a good feeling. It really isn't. But the great thing is that God gives second chances, third chances,
yes,
fourth chances.
The I'm thing on about my, like 200th chance, but we out here.
Hey, come on. Me too. Me too. And that's the thing, though. It's like learning from it, right? Do you truly learn from it? Okay, God, I understood at that moment. I should have either wrote it down. I should have talked to that person. I should have done whatever it was right then, and I didn't. But if you give me that another chance, the next time I'll be faithful to it.
Yes.
The next time I will be.
Yes, I've definitely prayed that prayer. I probably prayed that like last week. I pray that prayer a lot. I'm like, Lord, I know you told me to tell that lady about the gospel at the grocery store. I'm sorry. Lord, give me another chance with somebody else. You know, like I'm just being honest with y'all. Like, I know I got a podcast and a whole ministry, but I'm human and I missed a mark too. And so I just want to encourage us. Like, if you know you missed a mark, get back up, repent, and come on. Like, there's work to do. Don't wait until like everything looks just perfect. You know, it's kind of like, I know old people say that kind of about marriage, you know, they're like, don't wait till you think everything's perfect, because like, it'll never be perfect. It's kind of, it's the same thing. Like, don't wait until you just have this perfect opportunity to walk in obedience, because you'll be sitting around waiting on perfect and you're gonna miss it.
But you know, I can say this, just like as people who create content, right? There's just something about, just using an example, putting something together, say you record something like with your phone versus trying to wait till you have your camera and the lighting and everything together. Because we relate to what's familiar. We relate to someone who is relatable at times, right? Sometimes that's all that our brothers and sisters need, right? Can I just relate to you, see you as you are? When it begins to look so like, you know, polished over and everything, not saying don't put, you know, forth your best effort, but things can begin to look like, okay, after a while, you know, and nothing wrong with letting those walls fall down and showing people who you are and just meeting them where they're at.
Absolutely. And I love that too, because that's a very relatable thing to grasp on. People waiting to the right thing. You got to wait till you got your selfie light and, you know, all the right equipment and top line of stuff. But it's like, if you share the gospel on your phone, is it not still the same gospel? Like, you know, if God is calling you to just share a Bible story, maybe in a super creative way that no one's ever heard about it. Does that person that really needed it, are they going to remember, man, they had the most beautiful camera and the lighting was just right? Or are they going to remember, man, those words touch my soul and I know exactly what it is to walk in freedom now because of that, you know? Like there's you have to have that. You have to just go for it. You never know what God can use through that. So I really love that. I really love that. So switching gears a little bit. So you talked about intellectual beats at the beginning. So what is that? Share with the people a little bit about what it is. And just, you shared some of your story, but if you have anything else that you wanted to share about it, now's your time.
Yeah. Intellectual beats. So at the heart of it, it's all about elevating conversations. I mentioned earlier that it is journalism based. And yes, for the most part, it is. I share a lot of human interest stories, stories that I believe will meet people where they're at and allow people to be able to take those conversations with them into their communities, into their homes, and just really be able to build upon them and see how they can also make a difference in their own lives. With my podcast, after I've built upon the blog going into the podcast, I've really began to start the process of telling my own story and letting people in a little bit to my own life, as far as, again, the things I've gone through in terms of trying to break into the journalism industry, not happening right away. And then just really showing people that, again, these different navigations you take in life, there's a bigger purpose for it, even if you can't understand it at that time. So intellectual beats, it's about elevating conversations, but it's at the heart of it, it's really meeting people where they're at and then just sparking this bigger conversation that people can have. But yeah, so I mentioned earlier, I started it back in 2000, really 19. At times, not sure what I am doing, trying to figure out how to create a blog, how does this work and everything. It's a podcast now. And so the conversations have been even more dynamic. And we're able to now be on YouTube as well, in addition to our podcast streaming platforms, as well as social media. So it's been great. It's been a great journey.
I love to hear the growth. And I like that you shared that, because some people will just see the final product, or not final, but they'll see the now and they don't realize all the stuff that was behind the scenes to get you that point. And, you know, that's how most things are. You start with one thing and you eventually grow more and more as you stay faithful to the last thing. What about the name? Can you tell us a little bit more of how you chose that name, Intellectual Beats? I love it. I love the name.
Thank you, Stephanie. Let me tell you about the name. This is so crazy. So starting college, I had interviewed Cirque du Soleil when it came to Houston, through my internship with a family publication. So I'm interviewing the publicist and, you know, I'm asking him questions about Cirque du Soleil, like how do y'all, you know, invoke emotion into the show to, you know, stir, you know, these different feelings into the audience. And he's like, okay, give me a second. Let me pause. I didn't think I was going to be interviewed by an intellectual today. And I was like, oh, he just called me an intellectual. From that moment in probably what, 2016 or 17, you know, I took that all the way into the later years. So as I'm trying to create the name, I'm like, intellectual. Okay, I like that name. Intellectual what? And in journalism, you know, there's different beat reporting. So beats related to education, engineering, business, and so on. So I just figured, okay, Intellectual Beats. Let's just put the name together. But because I knew it would also be like a, what is that? I make sure I let people know my tagline is what? Elevating Conversations. Just to tie the two together. But yeah, that's how I came up with the name of it. There's a lot of experimentation going on.
I think that's such a cool story about that. I love, I always, you know, when people have a story behind the name, it really helps to bring more light into what you're bringing through the podcast, through the vision of what you're creating. And so that name is so perfect. And I like it because I'm not a journalist at all. I don't know nothing about none of that. So when I hear intellectual beats, like I think about it from a musical point of view because I'm a musician, right? And so, and you can relate too. And so when I hear, I hear intellectual beats in the sense of like, this will be like music to my ears, but in an intellectual type way, like not in a musical sense. So it's like, it's a vibe. Like, I love it.
Hey, I love that.
Like, it's like being at a jazz club, but you're sharing like intellectual conversations instead. Like, that's how I imagine.
Hey, I love it. Take me with you to the jazz club. Okay, take me anywhere. Take me on your commute.
Yeah. It's like elevating conversation to wherever you are, you know?
There,
like,
you go.
I love it. So yeah, I want y'all to make sure that you check out this podcast and as well as on YouTube as well. So you can check out the elevated conversations that are happening. You may see a familiar face on there, you know, you may. Slight spoiler alert, you may. No, but I really do encourage y'all. As you can hear, Shayla has some very cool experiences. As she mentioned at the beginning, she's a jack of all trades. And as she shared, she has a lot of very cool talents and things that God has given her to be able to use for his kingdom and just for the conversations to have with people. And so I know that y'all will be very blessed by those conversations, enlightened, encouraged. You may feel like an intellectual after you walk out of there. So make sure y'all check that out. Shayla, what is the username or tag that they can find that on?
Yeah. If you search Intellectual Beats on Instagram, on Facebook, you can find us there. If you're watching the platform on YouTube, you can search Shayla Kirkendall, my name, and it will pull up the Intellectual Beats podcast.
Nice. So make sure y'all check that out. All the links are in the podcast notes available for you. So I want to make sure that y'all check that out. You'll be very blessed. We're going to wrap this episode up. Shayla, one last thing. If you could give advice to someone who is in a place of that in between that we talked about earlier, that proverbial purgatory where they're just really trying to believe the promise, but they're waiting to see it come to pass. What will be some quick advice that you would give to them?
Gosh, honestly, I'll just say it. Don't doubt God. God has such a bigger purpose that goes beyond your current state. It's easy to allow what you're going through to deter you from thinking about God has greater for me in the future, but he truly does. If you can just hold on to the vision, the promise that God has shown you before, I promise you, it will help you begin to maneuver through everything you're going through. And again, shift you even closer to the promise that God has set before you. Anytime you feel like you're wrestling with the vision, anytime you feel like what God has shown me, it may not come to pass. Let me just say it like this. And I saw, I'll be honest, Stephen Furtick say this. Believe it or not, faith can come out of your doubts. There's nothing wrong with doubting where you're at right now. There's nothing wrong with feeling like I just don't believe it's going to come to pass. But I want you to keep working your faith and keep building that promise. Keep building upon the vision that God has shown you. It's going to come to you one day, but you got to stay faithful to it.
That's so good. Love that advice. Y'all heard it from Shayla herself. Don't doubt God. It's okay to just keep going. Challenge yourself and you will see manifestation of God's presence in your life. So I really appreciate everything that you shared on this episode, Shayla. Thanks so much for being a part of today's episode.
Yes, thank you for having me. God bless you.
Yes, this was amazing. Make sure that y'all follow Intellectual Beats, all the podcasts. All the links are available below. And after you do that, if you haven't already, make sure you follow Christian Girls Pop on Facebook and Instagram at Christian Girls Pop. You can find us on our website at christiangirlspop.com and on YouTube at Christian Girls Pop. Also, if you have not already, make sure you get your copy of our ebook, Scripture Made Simple. If you're wanting to go deeper in the Word, you're wanting to learn more about God, you're wanting to understand what His Word is saying, but maybe you have some questions or you don't want to go through it by yourself, we have a community available for you. So all that is available on the website as well as in the links below. So make sure y'all check all of that out. This was so much fun, and I'm glad y'all invited us into your space today. And I encourage you to just tune in next time. Remember, as always, Jesus already loves you so much. Don't you ever forget that.